Hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Connor, joined by Mike. This is the Loving Truth podcast. We love the truth, and we want to live it, and this podcast is about taking the truth of God's word and bringing it into your life. So excited to talk to you today. I just got back from camp, and the topic for the podcast today is camp and repentance. So two things that we might not always think of together, but camp and repentance. Had a great time at Hume Lake last week, and we're back now, Mike, obviously. So yeah, just want to talk a little bit about camp, why we do camp, what's happening at camps, and then talk about repentance and how those two things dovetail. So let me ask you, Mike, when you think of camp, what kinds of thoughts or memories first come into your mind?
First of all, an amazing question. What just popped into my mind for the very first thing would be the very first Christian camp I ever went to. And it was in 1981. Hume Lake, college camp on Memorial Day, Labor Day weekend. And I was not a believer yet. And I remember getting there and not really realizing what I had signed up for. And I was with this college group from the church that I was attending, First Baptist Church of Downey. I had gone there to play basketball and meet girls, okay? Monday night, gym night. One of the reasons why I love our field house and that ministry we have now, even having gym nights, that's how I was reached for Christ. And they would stop us in the middle of the games and they would open up the word and do a devotional, which I didn't like. And then next thing you know, they had me going to Bible study. Next thing you know, they had me, I was at Hume Lake. And I remember distinctly not having a Bible with me, because I didn't realize I was supposed to bring a Bible.
Yeah.
I had my Van Halen baseball tee on with my dolphin shorts. I was a runner, and so I had my dolphin shorts on, which, you know.
That's awesome.
Whole nother thing right there.
That's right? A whole nother thing.
But I remember being in the chapel that was not the Ponderosa Chapel. They didn't have that back then. It was okay. It was the one night next to it that's like right. A long, skinny one.
Memorial Chapel. They call that now. Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember students were standing up saying Bible verses. And I remember sitting there, distinctly remember sitting there thinking, I'm terrified, because are they going to make everyone do this? Because, and I'm in my head, I'm trying to remember a Bible verse. I don't know. I didn't know any Bible verses. And I remembered watching football games growing up, and you see the John 3:16 in the end zone. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, I remember going, "For God so loved the world." And I couldn't get past that. I didn't know anything past that. Mm-hmm. So I was actually way out of my element. But here's what I wanted to share. The very next summer, standing on the same grass field the last day of the college retreat, we always got in a big circle, and everybody who wanted to shared, and I shared that I had become a Christian earlier in the year, in the spring of that year, and that there was a little rock. I remember a friend of mine, an older guy in the college group, had said, "Well, I had found this rock. I like collecting rocks, and I found this little rock," and he goes, "You should remember that. You should keep that, because at camp, it was one of those things where it was like, I know I'm a believer. I've been a believer since like May or June. This is now September. I really want to serve the Lord with my whole heart. I want to give everything to the Lord." And I would have this talk with this guy, and he goes, "You should keep that as a reminder." Anyway, I remember that because it was like there was this heart of repentance in my life at that moment, where it was non-existent the year before. I was looking around going, "Where are the cute girls?" And I remember not wanting to be there for the Bible lessons or anything like that. I was just, there were some new friends I had.
Yeah.
But I was just searching for significance in life, you know?
Yeah, yep.
But by the next year, and I just, real quick, and then I'll pass it back to you. That spring, when I did become a believer, I was in the college choir at Downey First Baptist. We were doing a program that was called Look Inside. That was the name of this musical program we were singing. And there was a song we were singing. It was like, the refrain was, you are my everything. You are my all. Literally going like worshiping Jesus. And I remember I had been really convicted of my sin in that moment, in that season of weeks. And I remember just saying, "Lord, I want this to be true about my life." That had never happened before. And soon enough, I was repenting. I was coming to Christ. I literally knew I was on my way to hell without Jesus, and I needed Christ. And I remember being in church and hearing the invitation and running down the aisle, you know, and it's like, it was just a moment in time in my life where God opened my heart to the gospel, brought me to repentance, granted me repentance, and saved me.
Yeah. Man, praise God. Thanks for sharing your story. I haven't heard a lot of that, actually, so that's awesome. I would follow up. I mean, you mentioned repentance, but I think my follow-up question would be, well, I'll give some preface. So many people in our church or in churches like ours point to camps, and specifically camps in the junior high school, college time in their life where God really got a hold of their life. Mm-hmm. And I guess I would just ask the question, why? Why is it that so many people would say, yep, I was in high school, I went to Hume Lake, mm-hmm. I heard the gospel preached, which was probably the same gospel that they've been hearing mm-hmm. in church, you know, on Sundays since they were 1 year old. Yeah. But they look back at that and they say, that's when it really clicked for me. So I've wondered about this. I don't know if I have an amazing answer, but why do you think God has chosen to use camp ministries to impact so many lives, and that so many people look back at that time and say, yeah, it was that weekend, or is that time, is that week that God really, got me and I came to Christ?
I think one of the reasons why camp is used by God so significantly is because it's like you press pause on life. You literally get out of your normal arenas that you operate in, and you get away, whether it's up in the mountains, whether it's in the desert or at this ocean, whatever it is. I mean, I think about Hume Lake. You got to go for a long ways, and you go to a place that's somewhat foreign to you, even though it becomes familiar to you. I think about Forest Home. That was another very special camp for me. Primarily, not for when I was coming to Christ, but in the time that I was seeking the Lord in becoming a pastor and also marrying Angela. Hmm. And I remember there was a prayer chapel there, and I was at a retreat for children's pastors. I was doing children's ministry before I even was married. And I remember praying about whether I should marry Angela or not and writing it in these big books they had in there. And someone that I know found it and reminded me about it years ago.
No way. Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But I remember just how significant, because you get away, you press pause. One of the things Forrest Home used to say is something like, it was up on the wall, a place away from the distractions of the world where you can hear the word of God and focus on Jesus. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
And I just think there's something to that. I think I remember distinctly Hume Lake College Camp in 1989 or 1990.
Yeah.
I think it was 1990. Where Angela and I, we were either right about to get engaged, but we were dating, and I drove the bus up for the college group. I was in seminary, and John MacArthur, one of our beloved mentors who just went home to be with Jesus on Monday, John MacArthur was preaching at Hume Lake for college retreat. And I remember people kind of not in our group, but I heard rumblings through the camp that people weren't excited because it wasn't exciting.
Yeah.
They thought he was boring, and it was, but I couldn't get enough. He was preaching Psalm 19, four or five messages, and literally verse by verse. And I remember sitting there going, this is all I want to do for the rest of my life, is preach the word. Hmm. And so I think about even the significance of that. I will never forget that.
Yeah.
So I think you get away, you press pause on life, and you can maybe in a different setting hear the word of God that maybe you've heard before, but it just, you change it. It's a perspective changer. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. I think it's true. You get away, and there's a different pace. There's a different opportunity to focus. Mm-hmm. One of the guys who previously was the director of the high school program at Hume Lake used to say too, camp isn't magical, but it's a time for extended exposure to God's word. Mm-hmm. So lo and behold, as God's word is being preached and the gospel's being brought into things for a whole week, you know, in some settings, or a weekend. Shouldn't shock us that the Spirit is using that to work. And yeah, it's an interesting thing to think about, you know, okay, if we appreciate those times so much, why is it that it's once a year or it's once every few years that we get away for a time like that? I don't know. That's something interesting to think about, Mike. You know, is there other ways to think about incorporating some of the best of what you get at camp in terms of that distraction-free or different kind of environment? Because it seems like there really are seasons of either someone becoming saved or like a time of repentance. A lot of times at camp, they say things like, hey, maybe you've been a Christian, but, and I don't know if we love this language, but do you want to, you know, recommit. Again, don't know if we love that, but it's still, it's kind of the sense of, hey, maybe God has been doing something to convict you this week, and he's bringing you back to say, I want to be fully in, you know, for Jesus again. So any thoughts, Mike, in response to that before we wrap this one up?
Yes, I would say on one hand, I would say beware the camp high. I remember as a early on in ministry as a children's pastor, I would have all these students that were helping with day camps all summer. We had like 8 weeks of day camps in a row. And they got to like, if they did like every week, they would get like $60 towards camp. And that was when camp was like $200, you know?
Yeah.
All that to say, a bunch of them would always come back from Hume Lake and go, I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to stop cussing. I'm going to stop doing this or that. And I'm thinking to myself, we were having leader meetings every day. We were in the Word, and you were like blowing smoke at us. You were like pretending. Or someone would come and say, I got saved. And I'm like thinking, you've been saying you were saved. But I would say beware the camp high, or like you just make some decision that might not be as, I don't know. I hate to say not sincere, but maybe someone, it's just because everyone else is crying around the campfire and you feel emotionally, and you know, you're tired.
Yeah.
You've been eating bad food.
Yeah.
And you're running your ragged time. And now there's decision night, you know?
Yeah. Tiredness, especially, I think, is a big reason people feel so much emotion. But keep going. Yeah.
So I would say beware of that. But at the same time, don't dismiss the fact that God can do some of these things in your life. But here's what I would say. And maybe it's a little counterintuitive, but I would say you should have specific times where you focus on the Word of God every day, where you take those mini Sabbaths. And the thing is, if your life is bent that way and you start young, you don't have to wait for the big crush. You don't have to wait for the big, you know, avalanche. And I would say, and plus get away sometimes.
Yeah.
I know last summer, Angela and I took two other couples away and we called it like a life and ministry review retreat. We were all friends for like 40 years. And so no one was in charge. We were all just six of us together. We just talked life and ministry. All of us have kids and grandkids, but we just reminisced. We were all, the three guys were pastors together when we were in our early 20s. Yeah. And I just think, things like that, yeah. I look back, I will never forget that week.
Super unique.
Okay, it was very impactful. And I got together with one of those guys a week ago, and one of those guys I'm related to now, our kids are married to each other. We see each other, we talk all the time. But having a special time, it's like when you go out on a date night with your wife, or you take her away for your anniversary. You're intentional about getting away out of your usual.
Yeah.
Because you can get into ruts.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. Now, I think I'll bring it to a close here, but I think that's all really helpful, Mike, and encouraging. Another aspect we didn't really talk about is it's one thing to go to a retreat, let's say like a conference center or a hotel, but to actually get into a beautiful place can also make a big difference, right? I think a lot of us live pretty detached from the world that God's made. So just to go and see trees and see stars and be out on the lake and enjoy that, like, no wonder that's such an amazing time, you know? So, well, anyways, listeners, hope that was a good, I guess, encouragement to you to, you know, just kind of think about camp and repentance for a few minutes. And we'll talk to you next week on the Loving Truth Podcast. Until then, God bless you. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you next time.